I saw the movie Man of Steel this past week. Anybody see it? Four or five of you? Here's my short review. Not the same Superman that you're used to. Really violent. There's the short review. In the movie, though, Clark is a tortured soul. He thinks that the world rests on his shoulders in some way, and I guess in Superman lore it does a little bit, but he has trouble with the whole thing that's going on. And in keeping with Man of Steel and then the Avengers and all of the superhero movies, let's begin today's sermon with Super Prophet Elijah. Because very near this morning's Bible reading, Super Macho Prophet Elijah had a contest with the prophets of Baal on the mountain. And during this contest, he sort of challenged the prophets of Baal to call on their god to do stuff. And the god didn't do anything. That just didn't happen. And so Elijah did his thing, and then God responded. But then he asked them to do more, and super macho and super arrogant Elijah said, "Well, maybe your God is busy. Maybe he's out going to the bathroom." Really? I mean, and he was even more vulgar than that. It says, the translation is, maybe he has stepped aside, which is not a really kind way of saying he was relieving himself. Maybe your God is busy. Elijah won the whole contest, and he annihilated all of the prophets of Baal. I mean, literally, they were gone. They were dead. That's what Elijah did. And Jezebel, we heard about Jezebel last week, and this is prior to last week's Jezebel. This is the Jezebel who wasn't as fully acquainted with Elijah yet, but we can see why she hates Elijah so much. She was beyond angry. In this morning's reading, it says she threatened Elijah's life. Really threatened it. I mean, that was it. What's the line in here? So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. As in, dead, annihilated. So, super scared prophet Elijah ran for the hills. He thought that if he was killed, then God had failed. He carried that. I alone am left. I'm the last one. Everyone else is dead, and my life is threatened. And so then, super narcissistic prophet Elijah learned something on the mountain. Here's what he learned. He learned, it's not all about you, Elijah. God communicated that to him. Now I want to step aside for a second. Elijah, if you look at the things that he's saying in here, he's exhibiting significant symptoms of depression. He thought the world was on his shoulders. His life was in danger. Things were not going according to plan. And for 40 days, he just sat and wallowed in that. He was depressed. Now, I didn't talk to Elijah or anything and find out for sure, but it certainly looks that way. And when I say it's not all about you, about Elijah, or when I say it's not all about you, about any person, I don't mean that people don't need to practice self-care or that people don't need to have a mental health checkup or anything like that. Look at me very closely. I have been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, and I live with it all the time. So here's a face of depression. And a lot of people say to me, "But Kirk, you're so up. Everything is always so good, and you've got all this energy." Of course, I have an energized personality, but that doesn't mean that every second of the day I'm like this. And when I'm in a state, I guess I would say, when depression is right there in front of me, I can act anyway. I think people have the ability to act anyway. It just takes an awful lot more energy to get there. So I live with depression. People live with depression all the time. As a matter of fact, I think I brought up the statistic last week. I'm not sure if I did. 1 in 4 families right here today are affected by either brain disorder, mental illness, or disability of some kind. And in our lifetime, 80% of us here are going to live with brain disorder, mental illness, or disability of some kind. It's time to remove the stigma of these things because it affects almost all of us. So when I say it's not about you, I don't mean don't practice self-care. I don't mean that if you have anxiety or PTSD or depression or any kind of disability at all, that it should be in the shadows, because we all live with it and the community lives with it and the community needs to support one another when we know among us, all among us, there's all kinds of different illnesses. And we need to acknowledge that brain disorder, mental illness, disability, cancer, broken arm, broken finger, cold, virus, they're all things that modern day medicine can address. Can't always fix, but all things that we don't need to turn a stigmatized eye away and say, oh my goodness, that's awful. I can't deal with that. We can't throw up our arms. Elijah threw up his arms. He was living with whatever was going on there. He was carrying the world on his shoulders. And he thought that the world was pretty much going to end because he didn't do it. And God taught him a lesson. And wherever he was at the time, you see, God showed up. And before God showed up, there was a wind. And God wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and God wasn't in the fire. The verse communicates to us, these verses communicate that God was in the sheer silence. Not in the fanfare. Not in the superness. God was in the nothing. God is present in the nothingness. We can grasp something like that. We can get that the world doesn't rest on our shoulders. It doesn't rest on my shoulders. It doesn't rest on your shoulders. Our call is not to be the savior of the world, but rather to live out a call to love. God gave instructions to Elijah after he essentially told him, it's not all about you. He said, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you'll anoint a king over Aram. Go do what you do, because that's all you can do. God was reminding Elijah that if you fail, I haven't failed. If we don't do it right all the time, God hasn't failed. The universe is not going to turn on its axis because we make a bad decision as a group, a corporate group, or as individuals. But we have a reminder throughout the Bible, or throughout our inner being, that says that there is something that we need to do, not because we get a reward. I think Elijah was after the reward. He wanted everything to work out so he could go, I did that. Well, Elijah, it's not all about you and it's not all about us. But we have a reminder that our call, instead of being the savior of the world, is to live out this call of love. So we're supposed to go and do what we do, and not think about if we don't do it, the world is going to end or the universe is going to somehow shift into a state of awfulness. If you fail, love has not failed. Love wins. All the time. Doesn't always feel like it, but it does. And so I think that these verses here that tell the story of Elijah with the world on his shoulders, dealing with depression, wondering if the world can exist without him or if anything good can happen without him, and God saying, it's not all about you. It tells us that in this sheer silence where God is present is a great place for us to be. And sheer silence communicates an attitude that we're, I think, supposed to have. I hope that we have. And it's an attitude of listening, even when there's nothing. An attitude of humility, because it's not all about us. An attitude of service, because we can do good, even if we're not the saviors of the planet. An attitude of generosity, because to give is a good thing. An attitude of reconciliation, because when relationships are restored, things are better. It doesn't change the whole world, but it does change the attitude of one other person. An attitude of love, being at the core. So my brothers and sisters, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. But let's listen for the sheer silence. Amen.